Voices Radio Network.
Welcome to Strength Depositions, a podcast covering all facets of being strong and getting stronger. Brought to you from the world-famous Strength Depot Gym in Plymouth, Michigan, and hosted by Chuck Zarowski.
Survived the worst, but my life is glorious. Better know that I leap that be hurdle and I'm so victorious. Take a look, I'm a symbol of greatness. Now you can call me Morpheus. As for securing the win, but to believe I'm so notorious. You know that I've been by my bread, even though we rapping now. We used to live on the strip, even though you see me higher level trapping now. I superseded every one of my little struggles and failure has never ever been an option. Trust. You see my paper long like rush hour traffic and I'm about to take a hood shopping.
Hey everybody, welcome to the third episode of Strength Depositions podcast. We're sitting here broadcasting from the world famous Strength Depot Gym in Plymouth, Michigan. It's me, Chuck Zarowski, and my co-host Shane Rickman. How you doing, Shane?
All right, Chuck. How you doing?
Doing really well. What's new with you?
Not much. Just got a rough outline of my program for Michigan's Strongest Man, August 5th, 10 weeks out. I put together a rough outline today. I'm going to sit down with JJ Thomas tomorrow to go through tightening it up and getting started tomorrow.
Can you give me an idea of what kind of training you're going to be doing or what your program is going to look like?
Yeah, the events for Michigan Strongest Man are always really, really top-notch, really fun. Aaron West puts on a great show. So it's a Viking press, which is going to be actually the first time in all my years of Strongman that I'm going to have that as an event.
What's a Viking press? Can you describe that?
It's one piece apparatus, but you're pressing with two hands, usually a neutral grip. Aaron's actually going to have both a neutral grip and a front bar attachment, so it's going to be lifter's choice. And then it's got a fulcrum that's about eye level, and then it's just press away, you know, just one single unit, but two arms straight up. So
very cool. So you were going to tell me about a little bit about your programming, about what you're doing.
Yep. So for that, I don't have a Viking press, but I've got our card deadlift attachment, which we put up on top of the stone platform about eye level, and that worked out pretty well. I did some of those yesterday just to see if I could get a feel for it.
All right. Sounds good. Nothing's really new with me. I'm still trying to fight my injuries, but, you know, that's coming along. That's either here nor there. That's about it. I have a buddy of mine who was in the hospital. He's a power lifter. I'd like to give a shout out to Roddy Meyer. He's a power lifter. He's 56 years old. He's, I think, at like 180, 181. I believe he did a 650 squat. And this was like when, you know, people were going, you know, they were lifting in lifting boots and they were going all the way down. Roddy's even got like an artificial hip to prove it. But Roddy ended up working with me, and he was working with me as a nurse, and he ended up having some chest pain. So he called me, and he had me run out to the parking lot. I ran out to the parking lot, got him into the ER, and he has what they thought was triple vessel disease. They ended up doing a CABG, or a coronary artery bypass graft, times 6. He had 6 vessels and an aortic valve. So the only thing that I want to give out to all the listeners out there is if you're having chest pain, if you're having some issues that are reoccurring, you know, it's one thing to have a muscle pull, that's one thing. But if you're having any sort of chest pain or any sort of, like, issues with, like, you know, with that or shortness of breath, go to the doctor and go get checked. Because if I wasn't there or if people weren't there to help him and he wasn't able to get back in the ER, he would have been dead. So we're, you know, I'm just blessed. He's doing great. He's in recovery. He's extubated. He's doing really, really well right now. So that's about the new things with me.
Good to hear. What's recovery and something like that?
Recovery is like he will probably be in the ICU for probably a week. He'll get where more and more tubes are taken out of him. And then he'll go into the step-down unit. The step-down unit, he'll be there for a couple days. And then he'll probably be doing some cardiac rehab for, I don't know, maybe 6 weeks total. But the guy's strong, and the guy's like an absolute animal. So I think you can pretty much take that in half for this guy. But he's doing really well. Thanks,
that's
man.
Good here.
Speaking of, like, wrecking yourself, last night we had a strength deposition bar night. So a group of us all went out to a place in Livonia, Michigan, Bar Louie, and we pretty much, it was Armand and Josh's birthday, and so we kind of had like a, we all kind of had too much to drink, but Shane didn't go because Shane was getting us a leg press because he's a competent gym owner.
Right. So, kept me out of trouble.
Right.
Leg press.
So
won't have to squat anywhere.
Right. So I'm here today with Isa and Jen, and Isa is a power lifter, and she's going high. She's going like she's really doing well in it. And Jen is a strong woman who you were introduced to last week on the podcast. So I just want to say, hey guys, how are you? Thanks for showing up.
Thanks for having us. Thank you. Glad to be back.
Well, you guys are always welcome back. So today's podcast is going to be about women and strength. And it's a growing type of thing. Women and strength is a growing type of thing. And I think, like, CrossFit had a lot to do with that. And as much as I bash CrossFit in my life, CrossFit had a lot to do with, like, the inception of women being encouraged to do strength sports. And
definitely.
And I think, Isa, didn't you come from a CrossFit gym? Actually, let's back up. Isa, tell me a little bit about your background.
I didn't really play any sports growing up other than Taekwondo, which isn't really strength-focused. I didn't do any team training. I had never really lifted, didn't know anything about it. And as an adult, realized I needed to be healthier. I kind of fell into the same boat that a lot of people do. You know, you get older, you keep eating the same way, but you're not really doing anything about it.
As I'm eating Trolley gummy bears.
And so I joined a gym thinking I just wanted to be healthier.
Okay.
And it wasn't CrossFit, but it was similar type of class-based workouts.
How many years ago was this again?
4 years ago,
okay.
I believe. 4 years ago, July.
Okay.
And so I just was doing cardio classes, HIIT workouts, Tabata, that type of thing. And one day, shortly after I started, I saw and heard the guys deadlifting across the room and said, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. So
that's
where it all started.
That's fantastic.
Oh, but and actually, it was all thanks to Zumba.
Zumba?
Oh, no.
Nice.
Dude, we need a Zumba class in Strength Depot.
My buddy Chris does a Zumba class at his gym. I'll send people there.
So, Jen, tell me, I know we talked to you last podcast, but I want to hear a little bit more. Tell me about how you started lifting. Tell me a little bit about your background, what you do, you know, how you got involved in this.
So it's pretty similar to Isa. I had no, like, you know, I wasn't an athlete growing up or anything. I mean, I did some sports recreationally, never anything serious. Got married, had kids, kind of, like Isa said, became very sedentary, you know. Decided the same thing about 4 years ago also, just under, to kind of get healthier. So I stepped foot in a gym for the first time since college, which is a long time ago. with the same idea, just get healthier, lose weight, whatever, tone.
Oh, yeah.
So,
well, you're almost there, Jen.
I just keep going. No, so I started working with a trainer because I needed it's a little intimidating to go back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it turned out to be exactly what I needed. Worked with him a couple days a week.
Was he a power lifter, a strongman?
No. So he was the owner of the gym, actually, and he did a bodybuilding show like years ago. And so after we started working together, I was making pretty good progress, actually, once I committed. It took me a few weeks to finally, like, get it in my head that I was either in or out, you know? And so after a few weeks, I was like, I'm all in. And I, you know, then from that, it's like a switch flipped. I don't know what I can't tell you what it was or whatever. You know, changed my diet, committed to working out, which I would call it at
okay.
that point, you know?
You weren't training back then. You were working out.
Right. I was working out. And then, so after making some progress over a few months, he was trying to talk me into doing bodybuilding. And it never really appealed to me. I said I was, you know, willing to keep training, though. I was, you know, I keep doing that. So then, kind of trained with him for probably 9 months or so. And at that point, I'd gotten to know some of the other people at the gym. A woman, the only woman trainer at the time at the gym. And saw what she was doing with her clients. She wrote a program for me. I wanted to get stronger. At that point, I'd kind of fallen in love with the barbell lifts.
What was your first lift that you fell in love with?
I love deadlifts a lot. And okay. I love squats. I love them all. Okay. I just love them all. Bench, not so much. But, yeah, squats and deadlifts mm-hmm. mostly. Overhead press was pretty good. But so she wrote me a program loosely based on 531. So with anyone that's not familiar with that, Google it. So I made so much progress, you know, like you do the newbie gains. and it was great. And as I was lifting and getting stronger, I was getting leaner. That's, you know, the progress kept me going.
Okay.
We can talk about some other things that happened. Stepping on scale after a little while was a little weird, but.
Yeah. I wanted to actually talk about that. We'll get into that.
Yeah.
For both of you, what was the catalyst? Was there, like, one specific catalyst for you where you were like, I have to get into shape, or I want to get strong, or I need to get a little more active than I am? Was there one specific moment that you remember?
Definitely.
Okay.
For me, I grew up thinking I was fat when I really wasn't, like mm-hmm. a lot of girls. And then as an adult, got fat and wanted to change it for years. I didn't start working out. Working out until I was 34.
Okay.
Like just on my own doing machines and Zumba classes and cardio.
Zumba.
I love Zumba. and then that was maybe a year or less of that. And one day I was at home alone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm divorced.
Okay.
And so I was home alone on, it was Super Bowl Sunday. How could I forget that? It was, I don't like football. Sorry, guys.
Lame.
I didn't go to any parties, just home alone. And mm-hmm. literally, there was a switch in my head. Jen mentioned a switch, like mm-hmm. something clicked. It was instant. I just got it. All of a sudden, that fitness brain turned on. And from that day forward, it's been a completely different story. My motivation, you know, 99.9% of the time has been through the roof.
Okay.
I don't know what it was. I don't know if I saw a commercial. I don't know if I just kind of felt like, why am I at home doing nothing? I don't know.
Okay.
But I committed to a trainer at the gym. At the time that I was going to, and I went on vacation, and even on vacation I did stuff on my own, which I would never have done before.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I got back, I started working with a trainer for 8 weeks and tried to get a clue. I'm pretty sure I know more than he did back then, but it's okay.
It's definitely an evolution. Right.
Yes.
Jen, did you have some sort of like just moment that was it, I have to do this?
Yeah, I mean, I had one of my staff, she's an older woman, she was like 60 at the time, who had been going to this gym.
Mm-hmm.
It was near our office. And she would talk to people about what she was doing. She was working with that same trainer there, the owner of the gym. And she was always very gentle in her, she would write like health and wellness pieces for our staff newsletter and things mm-hmm. like that. She would talk to us on, you know, my team about what she was doing. And I kept saying, you know, what people always say is, oh, I should go check it out sometime. Mm-hmm. Oh, I should go check it out sometime. And then finally one day she's like, that's great. Come Wednesday. I'll be there like at 5 or whatever. Come okay. right after work. I'm like, oh, okay, sure. You know? And so then Wednesday rolls around and I make an excuse. I have to work late or whatever. And so I don't show. And that messed with me because I don't do that.
Right.
If I make a commitment, I'm going to do it. So I talked to her the next morning, and I'm like, you know, I'm sorry I didn't show up. I'm going to come the next time. And so I think it was like the next Monday. And so I, you know, damn it, hell or high water, I was going to be there. I walked into the place, not really, like I committed to going to, mm-hmm. to this, want to see her there and talk to him then. I walked out with, like, a signed contract and whatever. I was like, okay.
Right.
And so at that point, because because I do what I say I'm going to do, you know. And then I had my first session with him the next day, and I was lucky enough at work I could go in the mornings, take an hour during work and go. And man, that was brutal. He was even just showing me the machines at that point, like running me through like what the machines were like.
Yeah.
And I remember we were doing the leg press, and I vomited. Like, he pushed me really hard, and I vomited. And but I still came back 2 days later, my next session with him. But what I said before was, like, it took me a few weeks to kind of get it in my head. So what happened was, I would go on my two sessions with him a week. I was supposed to be coming in and doing extra on my own. Always found an excuse not to go. And then I was visiting family. Around the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
And my sister has been a yo-yo dieter, kind of. And so her weight was up phase. And we were staying at a hotel, and I said, you know, I would go to the hotel gym and needed to do this for the week we were there or whatever. Well, again, I kind of found excuses not to go. And she said to me, she's like, believe me, I've been there. I know what it's like, you know. Don't worry about it, whatever. Like, and I was like, I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to be. And I hope she doesn't hear this, because whatever. But it was what she said to me. She was like, she kind of gave me a pass for not doing it. And I was like, you know what? I'm not doing that anymore. So I set a goal in my head. I used actually an app. I used Foursquare. So I would check in at the gym every single day. And that was kind of my thing to keep me there. I became the mayor of the gym. I mean, it was all this, you know, you gamify it, right? And so that kept me going. So I had a streak where I would go every single day. I went a little crazy, though. Like, the thought of missing a day stressed me out so badly. So believe me, I've been at the extremes, right? I've been not committed, and then I've been, like, I think, crazy committed. So I've been to all extremes. So that was kind of the thing. That was finally the switch. That was like, I'm either in or I'm out, and I was in.
Well, you guys are both definitely in. You're both definitely in. Jen, you just placed second in your competition, correct? Didn't you place second?
Third.
You placed third, okay. Yeah. But you placed third to who?
Who came in first? She had just recently won California's Strongest Woman. So.
Right.
So, I don't even want
to. Right.
And maybe she's 20 years younger than me. Maybe 25.
and that strong woman, now Isa. Tell me about your last meet.
So I did Laura Sweat's famous women's pro-am in Cincinnati in April.
Okay.
It's the second time I've done it. I did bench only. I've had some recurring issues that I'm fixing, so I do what I can.
What was your bench?
255.
Now, guys, I just want to let you know, this isn't a bench shirt. This isn't. It's not. It's raw. She's doing it raw. You had wrist wraps on, right?
Yes.
Okay, it doesn't count. I'm just kidding.
No.
But we're talking 255, and I've seen the bench.
A pause.
Yeah, it was pause, and it was like old IPF rules, basically, and legit, and then up. So it was an amazing lift.
Thank you.
So I have a real quick. I think when I was training people, like I've trained people like over the past 30 years, I've trained people over the last 30 years, and the people that I like to train the most, honestly, are women. And the reason being is, you'll train, and Shane will probably attest to the same thing.
They smell better.
They do a lot better.
Especially here.
Right. not quite the musky smell, but I like training women better because they want to get better, and they want to listen to what you're saying, and they care about technique, and they want to get stronger and better. Whereas a lot of the guys that I've trained over the years are either you're trying to get, like I've trained people for powerlifting, for strength sports, and, you know, and for bodybuilding. And the people I've trained, a lot of them have been like, oh, I don't want to do that. That's too much weight. Or, you know, they want to go gangbusters on the weight and limit their range. What do you find, Shane?
Well, 100%. I was going to step in there. I didn't want to step on your toes. But women have no ego when it comes to the gym. Like, from my experience, when women come in and you tell them what to do, they don't do the, well, I've always done it this way. It's more of, they're like you said, they're all in, ready to go, ready to listen, just ready to work and listen. I love that. That and kids are the same way. So.
Oh, God, yeah.
I've definitely said more than once, you just tell me what to do and I'll do it.
Well,
I mean, in the gym.
So there's that, and then.
So my name's Isa.
What's up, Jeff?
But honestly, like I
swipe right.
Yeah. All right. So whenever, like, how did you guys learn? Like, you had your initial interaction with the trainer, both of you, and then how did it progress from, like, I'm going from a trainer to now I'm, right. You know,
and Ice is a kettlebell world qualifying. Help me out. How do you go from? How
no,
do you,
I like all the.
But how do you go from? I'm Zumba, going to sit with a trainer to pretty accomplished lifts and pretty...
I started at a commercial gym on my own.
Okay.
Doing the Zumba, doing the machines, doing, you know, the treadmill and the elliptical and that kind of thing. I can read the signs on the machines, so, you know, I'm a pretty intelligent person.
I'm a pretty good reader.
So I figured it out and, you know, back in my day... You know, we didn't have Google to Google everything. We didn't have the internet, like, at least I didn't have a smartphone at the time, I don't think.
Right.
And so I looked at the pictures, followed the directions, and then from doing Zumba, no, I did have a smartphone because I posted I was doing Zumba,
mm-hmm.
and some friends of friends had commented, well, you should do it with us. So I did it a little bit with them, and then... The one lady said, I have a friend who owns a gym and there's a Groupon, you should try it. I had been looking for a gym. I remember searching for a hardcore like gym where you feel like family, where yeah. you're connected and you're not just a stranger. And as soon as I walked in, I realized that was that for me at the time.
Okay.
So again, I just was doing group classes, trying to lose weight, just trying to be healthier. I didn't really have any other goals other than being healthier. I didn't even have a goal weight. I've never been one that's stuck on a number on the scale. So I've always been strong, though. I mean, for anybody who knows me, they look at me and can tell just naturally I carry a lot of muscle mass. I'm short, I'm stocky, I'm like a female version of my dad.
Okay.
So I've always been naturally strong, but I never really was encouraged to build on that, to use that, to see what I can do with it. And what's funny is years ago, I attempted to get healthier at another commercial gym and had two power lifters. One was my personal trainer then,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was teaching my weight loss class. And I still didn't, nobody, like, they didn't pick up on it. I didn't.
You didn't put the connection together,
no.
right?
And I wish I had started powerlifting 10 years ago, but, you know, everything happens for a reason.
Think of how much you saved in your joints over the years, though.
Maybe. So this gym, I was doing the group classes, and it was kettlebell that I originally got into there. So I became a certified kettlebell teacher through the federation that the gym owner was mm-hmm. certified in, and really loved that, too.
Oh, I mean, let me just say how much, anybody who knows me knows how much I think kettlebells are just... absolutely amazing for functional strength.
Yeah. They're very versatile.
Yeah.
Almost everybody can do some kettlebell.
Absolutely.
They come in all different weights and sizes, so you can use them for a lot of different things. And for me, that was my fun way of doing cardio.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to run. I don't like to walk. I don't like the treadmill.
Yeah.
You know, machines are kind of boring for me, necessary sometimes, but that was my fun cardio.
Like somebody always said, like, I'm not going to run only if I see a naked man running, because I'm going to run with that man because there's some scary shit coming. So, but
actually,
please.
I'm not even going to run. I'm just going to turn and fight.
Right.
I'm not even running. Oh, yeah. Zombie apocalypse. I'm ready to fight. Let's be real.
Cardio.
No.
Right.
So I became kettlebell certified. I was doing the kettlebell work and then started powerlifting almost immediately. And even though I had done some lifting,
mm-hmm.
to me it wasn't real lifting. Like before I joined that gym, at the other commercial gym, I think I benched 65 pounds and thought that was a lot, and okay. I was scared to put more on when nobody could spot me. And he showed me how to deadlift twice, and I think I maybe did, you know, 95 mm-hmm. for deadlifts, and I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
You just didn't know at that point.
I just didn't know. Had no clue. And so I started powerlifting, and 6 weeks after I started powerlifting, I did my first competition.
Oh, wow.
So I didn't realize it at the time.
Do you remember what your lifts were?
I think squat was 235, bench was 145, and deadlift was 265.
After six weeks. 6 weeks of training,
the
folks.
The very first day I ever deadlifted, mm-hmm. I pulled 285.
Zumba is strong with this one, folks.
Asians were made to lift.
It was just... We're going to edit that part out.
It's very factual.
I'm pulling up the data right now.
Yeah, so I did that competition. Really loved the camaraderie, uh-huh. the support that people gave each other. People didn't know me, mm-hmm. but they could see I was new. They wanted to give me advice. I met some great people that I'm still friends with today. And it just kind of kept going.
Okay.
I just kept doing competitions. Oh, I know what I wanted to say. So when I first joined, the very first week, they had their summer picnic. And even though I had only been to one class at that point, mm-hmm. we were invited, which was cool. I joined with some friends. And they announced how the powerlifting team, they had all qualified for Worlds. Well, I didn't know what this was. I had no clue about federations. I didn't know about qualifying. But I just thought, wow, they qualified for Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
And they had world records. And I remember turning to my friend and said, I want a world record.
Right.
I wasn't totally joking, but I didn't know what that meant mm-hmm. at the time. And now I know that, you know, well, there's world records in all different federations, blah, blah, blah. And
it's still sweet, though.
Yeah, it was definitely one of the keys to my motivation at the time.
Okay, so Jen, same thing with you. Like, when you had your, bout with the personal trainer,
yep.
and you started lifting. So, like, how did you progress from being like just somebody who's just trying to learn to somebody who's now doing strong woman? How did that go about? What were your mentors? Do you have any mentors? Do you have anybody that you look up to? Did somebody teach you? Was it the internet? I mean, I'm curious how that progression happened.
Yeah, it's a combination, honestly. So I'm pretty self-motivated, pretty self-driven. So I, like I said, the progress that I made with the trainer, and then when I decided I wanted to be strong, you make progress pretty quickly as you're a beginner, right? And so that kept me going.
Okay.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it was pretty cool to see what I could do. So then...
Do you remember the first time you saw a bicep vein?
Yeah, I do.
I'm just saying, because that was big for me. I remember where I was and what I was doing.
I can't wait to see mine.
You'll get this.
Is there a marker I'll draw?
Yeah, please.
But what's so funny is now it's like, where are my quad veins? It's hard for girls. Anyway, So I trained powerlifting style. I was a very shy lifter. So my gym had a back room where that could be like closed off, that one of our personal trainers like paid extra every month to just use this space for his own stuff. I would lift at 5 o'clock in the morning, so I could kind of be by myself. I would close myself off in this back room. I had the permission of this guy to do it.
Nice.
But I was so shy because I don't know. I don't know. I can't explain. Like maybe I was not confident in my form. I don't know. But that's how I chose to do it. I'd put on my music and I would just lift by myself. That kind of stuck with me for a long time. And then we had at my gym a group of strongmen train there. And during the week they would train powerlifting style.
This is
still what we do now.
So was this just like a gym that you happened to... This was the same gym that you had started in?
Yeah, I've been going to the same gym since I started, yeah. I've since branched out and tried other ones. Obviously, I'm here at Strength Depot, so...
Right. World-famous Strength Depot?
World-famous Strength Deposition. Home of Strength Deposition.
Right.
Anyway, so I would watch them, and so one of the guys... couple of the guys have been world's, well, one guy had been world's strongest man, this trainer that whose room I used, you know, and another guy there is like a world-class deadlifter. And so I'd watch all these guys train, and
you can say his name, maybe he'll listen to us.
Oh, all right. So Jason Bergman is the he's the trainer I was referring to.
Okay.
He's been the world's strongest man. Adam Dirks is the world class deadlifter who's also now on his way to great things and strongman.
Absolutely.
So I'd watch them lift, but kind of became friends with them, talk to them. They would give me advice and stuff. I was still like, so I was fascinated with what they did. I was fascinated with strongman. I just love seeing how strong people could be. Love to see the limits of the human body and how people push themselves, but never thought it was something that I could do. Just really didn't, you know? So I was kind of like training myself. I would do a lot of research online to see, you know, new exercises, what's gonna get me stronger. Anyway, so I kind of plateaued though. I was stuck at, I couldn't get my deadlift past 295 to save my life. Just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so then, like, I got to be friends with these guys. So then I started working with Adam to get my deadlift up, and he's like the deadlift whisperer. He can take a look at your form and say, move your feet a little bit this way, you know, try this, and so yeah, he had me progressing.
Did you get past that PR like right away?
Yeah, it didn't take long at all.
Yeah.
And I think some of it too is just having somebody else believing me. I trained by myself for
that's
so long.
A huge thing,
and it became this mental block, you know, where I just couldn't get past it myself. So it really helped. So then at that point, I had training partners at that point for the first time. And then trained with them for a while. And then just last summer, Adam basically was like, Jen, pick a competition. I don't care what you do. If it's powerlifting, if it's strongman, I don't care what you do. But, you know, kind of you're off the team if you don't pick a competition. So I'd been too nervous to compete until then. I didn't think I was very good. I think
that's a problem a lot of people have. They want to wait till they're good to compete, which is not the way to do it.
Do you know how many times I've heard people go, Chuck, I'd love to come train at Strength Depot, but I want to get stronger first.
Oh, yeah, who doesn't say that? They don't want to go to the gym until they lose enough weight to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Or until they're not embarrassed to go to the gym.
Yeah.
Right? And
It's a mind fuck.
Yeah. It is a total mind fuck.
Yeah.
And so I'm not like always in the habit of giving advice, but if I did, and if there's one, and I don't believe in regrets necessarily, but if there was one, I would say don't wait. Don't ever wait. I should have waited. I love competing. Love it.
Yeah.
And I love strongman. I should have started a long time ago.
You know, it's funny. I want to know, like, who, like, as far as for women athletes that you two look up to? Like, are there any women athletes that you're like, man, that's awesome. I mean, that's who I aspire to be. Or do you just look to yourselves and go, I just want to keep getting better?
So I wanted to say earlier how big the internet was for me, social media specifically. I wouldn't be standing here if there wasn't such a thing as Facebook. And people can complain about drama online. It's what you make it to be.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it facilitated so much goodness. I've met great people. I met Shane online.
Right.
We had mutual friends.
Did he swipe right?
She swiped right.
You walked in. Oh.
Come at you from both sides on that one, didn't you?
So social media was a big thing for me. I originally, when I started that whole fitness brain click whatever I had, I started following bodybuilders because I think that's what's easy to find and didn't know any better still.
Well, and I think sometimes that look, you think that look means strength.
Yeah. It didn't.
Oh, okay.
It didn't for me. It was just simply they looked like they worked out, I guess. But I also knew, I'm like, these are not the people I think I should be using as role models because I have no desire to go there. I don't think my body's built for it in any way, shape, or form. I would never go that route. So then I started looking for strong people, right? And I don't know who or how it started. I competed very early on, so I had met Christy Reske.
Who, let me say, when I used to train at Detroit Barbell, would outlift me and everything.
Yeah, I very quickly learned who she was and what she accomplished, and She had either just competed at Worlds or was about to. And so from the very beginning, she was one of the very first women in strength that I knew personally, somewhat, you know, that I thought, well, she can do it, I can do it.
Okay.
And she was, she's a bigger girl like me.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And she's, you two are both incredibly strong. Incredibly strong. How about you, Jen? Did you have any mentors or anybody that you look up to right now?
You know, it's interesting because the people I train with are real, they're like crazy strong already. Mm-hmm. So I think I've always had sort of a warped perception of like my own. Mm-hmm. And, like I feel totally inadequate anyway, you know. I don't compare myself. First, and I'm a lot older than most of the people that I train with anyway. And so I don't compare myself to light. I don't compare apples to apples. Mm-hmm. I compare myself to what other people maybe, but more so myself. I just want to get stronger and stronger. But of course, I mean, social media, for me, it's a double-edged sword because I beat myself up then because I think I should be better than I am. I mean, I look at, and again, it's not a realistic comparison, but it's what I do to myself. So I go back and forth. I'm inspired by people who are stronger than me, but I also sometimes feel so inadequate.
Well, Shane, you do that too, don't you? Like it being as far as for being strong, man. Don't you sit there and like, I mean, like, and I do the same thing with powerlifting. Like I should be as strong as this person. How come I'm not that strong? I got to work harder and get stronger. And you always have this feeling of like, I feel inadequacy, but I think that's a drive that always makes you want to be better. It's that never being satisfied drive that
well, if you think you're the best, then what are you striving for?
Yeah.
And if you think you're the best, you're not, because there's always Eddie Hall out there and, you know, other people. So when you guys started to lift, you guys obviously put on muscle. So what's that like being a woman? So you're supposed to be, like, as a woman, they think, okay, well, you're supposed to be like this cosmopolitan model type thing, and that's supposedly this fucked up ideal that people have. Like, what's it like when you start gaining weight, when all this time you've been wanting to lose weight, and now you're gaining weight? What's that like? How is that a mind fuck?
Okay, I'll go first. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when I first started going, it was to lean out, mm-hmm. to lose weight. My trainer was weighing me every week and, you know, making progress and whatever. But on the weeks that maybe I didn't lose what he wanted me to lose, or God forbid I put on a little bit of weight, it was rough. He wasn't always very gentle with me. But I, overall, was making really good progress. Mm-hmm. When I started strength training, so I stopped stepping on the scale at that point when I stopped working with him. I had no reason to.
Right.
My clothes were getting looser, but I needed, you know, I had my annual physical, mm-hmm. about 6 months after I started strength training. I had gained 15 pounds.
Okay.
But I went down two sizes, like, in my pants. But just that 15 pounds wrecked me. It just wrecked me. And it's, you know, whatever it says about me mentally, but that wrecked me. And I beat myself up a lot about that for a while. And then, like you said, when you start to build muscle and people start to notice and say things and... it took me a long time to get okay with that.
Okay.
It really did. And now I would never want to be any other way.
and Jen, for those who don't know or haven't seen her, is pretty jacked, pretty vascular for a chick. We actually went to lunch today downtown Plymouth right after we got done training. So she did arms for about 30 minutes before we went.
I never train
her. So, and she's in a tank top, and it really was. I even noticed, she might be oblivious to it at this point, but I even noticed, like, when we would walk by, like, guys and girls kind of looking and not necessarily judging, but, you know, you could tell that people are staring and looking and whatever they think in their mind. But I was even kind of found myself looking at people going, hey, mind your fucking business. Like what? Like, I felt objectified for her. Or maybe I was jealous that they weren't looking at my arms.
Tricep envy.
Right.
I can tell stories about that. It's the craziest stuff.
Yeah, let's hear a story.
I don't even get it. I still don't get it. I'm amazed. People come up to me all the time and comment on my physique. Always. People have asked to take pictures with me. Like, complete strangers. have asked to take it, and I just don't get it. I'm trying to be nice. I try, you know. And
when they're asking you to take pictures, is it because they're in awe because they don't see people like you in their everyday life, or is it because they think like negatively, or is it both?
So, well, most people, I mean, I haven't asked everybody why.
You can tell sometimes by the way they say it or the look on their face.
They're very kind. They're flattering, yeah. And they're kind. So I just take it at face value, and I'm nice, you know. Yeah, but when it first started happening, it was super uncomfortable. I didn't know how to take it. Like you said, I thought, did they think that's bad or whatever? And, you know, I've kind of changed my own mindset where I choose to believe they're being kind. And,
mm-hmm.
It's changed me a lot, though. I will tell you that. Like, I will walk down the street and I will not make eye contact because I know they're looking at me. It sounds terrible. It sounds weird. Whatever it is, I hate saying it even out loud, but it's the truth.
How about you, Isa?
So this is great that you have the two of us because I think we have very different perspectives and experiences. I mean, we are built very differently, mm-hmm. too, so I think that contributes to it. Again, I've always been more muscular than the average woman, even without working out. But I wasn't really thinking about gaining muscle at all in the beginning. It was all I needed to lose fat. I knew I wanted to change my body composition, but I do remember being that chick that was like, I don't want to lift too heavy because I don't want to look like a man. And it's the complete opposite now. And now I'm like, bring on the muscle. I want bigger muscles. I want the muscle mass to move the weight that I want to move. And so I didn't experience like what Jen did where all of a sudden I've never been super jacked. I mean, I definitely have a lot of muscle, but it's hiding under.
You can tell you're very strong by looking at you, though. Right.
But I've never really had too many people say much to me. Usually it's other people who work out that I've met. One of my old training partners, she joined our gym, and the first time we met, the very first thing she said to me is, "You look strong." Like, in a good way. It was very flattering, and I was like, wow, thanks, you know? And so,
So we mentioned the internet and social media previously. Do you think it's kind of a double-edged sword? I think that women a lot of times are viewed as being too muscular, and you get those kind of comments. But I also feel like it's very empowering. I think
I think
nowadays that look is becoming not more norm, but more socially accepted. And
so I think the underlying problem is insecurity in general. And that applies to women of all different shapes and sizes. It doesn't matter if they work out or not. It doesn't matter if they're underweight, overweight, muscular or not. And that's something I actually addressed before I ever lost any weight. I knew, and I wish every woman and every person would learn this, I knew that I needed to be comfortable and confident with myself the way I was to be able to do the things I wanted to do. So I had already addressed that before I started lifting. Now, when I started lifting, it propelled me because it gave me a purpose for my body, because our bodies as women don't exist to look pretty for anybody. Okay? Let's get that straight. So when I realized I could work out, and it doesn't have to be powerlifting, it doesn't have to be a strength sport, but when you can do something with your body that gives it purpose and it gives, you use your body for its intended functions, you know, we're meant to move, we're meant to run, climb, lift things, that was huge, and I think that would be huge for a lot of women. Not saying there's anything wrong with being pretty. We all want to feel pretty, but pretty is, what does that mean?
Subjective.
It's mm-hmm. subjective, mm-hmm. right? So
that's exactly where I'm at, too. Like, I would much rather, I want to know what my body can do. I don't, you know, I say I don't care as much about how I look as I do about what I can do. That's what I would, and to me, like, my biggest failure as an athlete would be if I look strong, but I can't deadlift that or whatever, you know, that to me would, in my own mind, would be my biggest failure, is if I can't walk the talk or whatever.
I think it's interesting, and I think it's interesting even coming from, like, you know, when I started, I came in as a bodybuilder, and I think it's always, like, it's always your perception, and what are you happy with, and what do you want, and so, like, anybody who comes in this gym, no matter what they want to do, bodybuilder, powerlifter, strongman, I don't care if they're trying to get ready for sports, man, they're welcomed because, you know, that's what they want to do. But I think we all have to be kind of happy with who we are and what we're trying to do. And then that's when we start getting the benefit and the fulfillment of doing what we're doing.
And along the lines of the whole women's movement in sports, which I think is, you know, getting more and more accepted and gaining some steam. I actually can tell you, when I first started in my garage training, we had groups of 5 and 6 women that would come at a time. And it was... I loved it, and one of my favorite stories is Tina Elstone, who used to come out and train with us. She was going to the gym all the time, getting stronger in all of her lifts, but kind of had... I hope she's not pissed at me for using her name, but kind of had her mother-in-law was living with her and was giving her a hard time, like, you're going to the gym again, why aren't you looking any better? Like, kind of just... And I remember her confiding in me and, like, that really pissing me off. So we were... You know, I said, do you want to do more, like weight loss type of stuff? And she said, hell no. Like, I want to be strong. So you could tell it really bothered her. So one day we were doing farmers, a pretty heavy farmer's walk, and I was coaching her, and she just couldn't get it. She would go 5 feet and put it down, and I kind of sat her down. And I said, listen, you're going to pick this up. You're going to go the full 30 feet, and when you're done, you're going to tell your mother-in-law to fuck off. And she's, you know, was kind of like... flustered a little bit, and she was, all right, let's go. And she picked it up, and we just did it in front of my house. I didn't even have a sidewalk. We were in the street. And she picked it up and went the full 30 feet, and I kind of said it jokingly to motivate her, and she went the full 30 feet and dropped it and just screamed, fuck off, super loud, had tears in her eyes, and you could tell. And, awesome. And this was one of those things that I'm like, wow, this is really empowering for women, and I loved it. And I've been, like I said, I trained women out of my garage for a very long time just because I loved... even like with Atlas stones, they would look at an Atlas stone and say, oh my God, I can't do something like that. Yeah. And then they load a stone and they look at it and they're like, holy shit, I just did that. And just that sense of, wow, look what I can do, really.
And that carries over to the other parts of your life.
Yep. How does it carry over for you, Isa?
So I'm not a good example of this because I never really looked at anything and said, I could never do that.
Okay.
I said, I see that, I want to try it. I don't know. I don't know if it's just, again, it was that thing in my brain that's like, you know, you're made to do things, mm-hmm. right? So not a good example for that.
How about you, Jen? How about like, as far as for being empowered and feeling strong, how does that carry over in your everyday life?
So, I mean, it's, I guess a little similar. I was always mm-hmm. a little less... adventurous, I guess, than Isa, but my life for a long time was, I was a single mom, so it was my kids, and it was work, right? Mm-hmm. And so I would, what this showed me is that I'm more than that, you know, and I've always been goal-oriented, I've always been able to, you know, to do better. I mean, mm-hmm. I do process improvement work, and so that's kind of my mindset anyway. Mm-hmm. This showed me that couple things. Like, I'm in control of myself and my future and my health and all those things. And that, you know, it's another set of goals. Gave me another healthy outlet for some of the things that I was dealing with. And so it's yeah. And like each new, so that's what I love about Strongman too, is so there's so many different events. And as you know, and Strength Depot has so many of the implements to train all of the events, so it's really awesome, which is why I come here.
Quick plug there.
Plug away.
It's why I drive 8 hours to come here.
Wait, it's the world-famous Strength
Depot.
World-famous
Strength Depot. Right. Sorry, guys, you got to get T-shirts with that, or else I'll forget.
So Chuck and I have talked about this on podcasts before, and I just was curious to see if you guys feel the same. You're both real outgoing women who talk to people. Chuck and I have talked about how strength... has helped us from a confidence standpoint. I preach it to my sons. I preach it to everybody. When you're strong and you're confident in yourself, you find yourself with a bigger chest, with your eyes up. You're more engaging with people. Do you find that even in the professional setting and, you know, personal settings as well?
Absolutely.
More so now than before you were training?
Hell yes.
Again, I'm not a good example of that.
You're a social butterfly, no matter what.
I've always been a talker, yes. I've always been a talker. And I think maybe just because I've always felt like a bigger woman my whole life, so I've never had that translate into the internal, you know, shrinking flower type of personality, so...
Okay.
I don't know.
You know, we...
It was for me, though. Definitely.
You feel like it's helped you, like, just the way you...
Come out of my shell. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
I see that a lot. I see that with people.
I also see, like, particularly like strength sports, and I can't talk about bodybuilding because I haven't been involved in bodybuilding for many, many, many years, but in powerlifting and in strongman, it's such a welcoming endeavor that it's inclusive. So, like, everybody, yes. It's not exclusive, it's inclusive.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, you want to start getting better at your deadlifts, so you ask somebody, and they helped you, and then you met somebody else, and then Isa, you did the same thing. You meet people constantly, and it's all through this and that you get to meet, like, kind of like your social network, and I think just in that in itself, because everybody is pretty welcoming, I think helps out as well.
And everybody is being in the same genre.
Yep.
That you all have the same goals, more or less, right?
Yep.
To make progress, whether it's strength-related, endurance-related, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
we have that common ground.
Shane, I got to ask you a question. So I'm going to digress a little bit. From what I remember, you were involved in Women's Strongman. Like, you were one of the first people that got Women's Strongman in this area, correct?
I don't like tooting my own horn, but okay, here we go.
I
had a lot of women, like I said, training out of my garage who... you know, like Isa, we're kind of, well, how do I get into competitions? How do I, so...
Did they approach you, or how did you get this group of...
No, I just did, like I said, I had Laura, who I'd talked about before, who was a 50-something-year-old woman who started doing farmer's carries and stones and just on her own and loved it. So I decided one day I was going to do a women's intro to strongman, because I would ask women to come out and train a lot of times. I said, oh, I've seen all the guys at your house, and, you know, that's intimidating. So my buddy Chris Huff owns P80 Fitness. At the time, he was in Redford, and I, you know, he was very gracious and let me use his spot before Strength Depot was open. And I put it on Facebook and had 31 people, I think, that said they were going to show up. Which on Facebook, you do the equation, that means 12, right? So I said, all right, you know, here, and I had Steve Barkley, Dean Nassiman, couple guys. Joe Sheffield were coming up to help me, and 41 women showed up. So the 31, and then they brought friends. So it went from this is going to be a quick little fun session to, holy shit, we need to set up four different, you know, stations. We had people going through.
That's bigger than a lot of content.
Exactly. So even,
that's crazy.
Like, we put all the pictures on Facebook, and Willie Wessels called me the next day going, what the hell are you doing? Like, he is the president of United States Strongman. So he said, if you ever do this again, let me know so we can sanction it and get it out there. And I said, I had no clue it was going to blow up like this. So, yeah, we had 41 girls showed up, had a great time, got tons of pictures. And then through some of the work I did with Relentless, I held a women's only strong woman competition. With all the proceeds going to Alicia, Jan, and her family, and had 31 women showed up to do a women's only strong woman competition. And I think that prior to that, I mean, if you saw four women at a strongman competition around here, it was huge. Like, whoa, where'd all these girls come from? Where do they train? And I had 31 women showed up, and again, that was just a non-sanctioned, let's do it for fun. And again, Willie called me again and goes, what the hell are you doing? Like, why?
A lot of those women had done it for the first time at that
competition. Oh, yeah, almost all of them. That was their first competition.
How long ago? Just a couple of years ago?
2 years ago.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and the nice thing is, too, is like, I'll digress back to CrossFit, too. CrossFit's made it a little more approachable for people to come
yes.
through. I think that... You know, like you see people on the internet, you see people on like Instagram, you see people on Facebook, and they're posting their, you know, Olympic lifts, or they're posting people like whatever they're doing. And, you know, say what you want about them, but it's gotten people involved. And I think that's carried over for our sports too.
Right.
You know, so I think that's a positive thing.
And I think part of it too was, I'm sure there were women interested in it, but I don't think one woman was going to show up by herself.
Yeah.
At a strongman competition.
Yeah.
However, if she's got five friends that want to do it. She's like, hell yeah, me and my girl's going to roll up here and wreck shit. So I think it was empowering. That's awesome. Just in terms of numbers and coming together as a group, as opposed to just, you know, one woman showing up by herself wanting to do it.
I will tell you, when I met Shane on Facebook, it showed like we had 80 friends in common or something. And then so some of them got tagged in some of the posts that were being done at his house out of his garage. And I knew, I was like, oh, I'm going to do that.
Have obviously outlifted dudes before. Has there ever been a time, like, what do you remember, like, of outlifting a guy, like something that stands out, or the first time you outlifted a guy? Did that stroke your ego a little bit?
I'm trying to think the first time. I don't remember the first
time. Or give me a time. Give me a time.
There have been some times where I've definitely outlifted them, but luckily they were other people at the gym I was a member of at the time, and they thought it was cooler than I did, I think. So that was kind of nice.
How about you, Jen?
So at the gym I train at back home, I was the strongest woman there until Adam's girlfriend, Kim Baum, who's now Kim Dirks, they got married, started to come train with us. She's a pro women, strong woman. She won the USS middleweight pro show in the fall, but she's a beast. Deadlifts 500 pounds, can overhead press, I think, almost 200. And it's crazy. Right. She's so strong. It's great. And so, yeah, I can outlift a lot of the guys there, and that's okay. But I noticed it more, honestly, when I travel to other gyms. So if I travel for work and have to train at different gyms or like an LA Fitness or something, I used to be very self-conscious about that too, you know, because you get looks from other people. And that was just another experience that I honed my skills of, you know, staying in my own lane. I don't even look around because I am not going to get distracted by people looking at me or whatever.
So,
I mean, it used to make me feel self-conscious and stick out, but it wasn't going to stop me, you know? And so now, I love being... I compare myself to guys like I do to women, you know? I'll be as strong as I can be. Can I ever deadlift 900 pounds like Adam? No, hell no. I know I can't. But it's going to keep me pushing.
Absolutely.
I have a goal to always be the strongest. This is going to make me sound totally whatever, but I want to be the strongest woman wherever I am, or at least try to be, and I want to be stronger than some dudes.
You told me you wanted to be the strongest woman yesterday.
Well, yes. But I mean, like, in any given gym or session or whatever, I mean, if I'm not, it's awesome. If there's another woman that's stronger than me, then I think it's amazing. I love that, but that's kind of just my mindset because I just want to be better.
I can tell a story from the other side of the tracks where I was at Tampa's Strongest Man 2 years ago. There was a 15-inch deadlift. I pulled 685 to set the Florida Lightweight Masters record. And then April Mathis, who's a world record bench and deadlift, I believe. Don't quote me on that. I know she's got world bench press record. Very established power lifter. Pulled 700 from that height. So I went 685, she went 700, I went 715 and missed. So in the record book, she outlifted me at that. And afterwards, a couple guys were trying to give me a hard time, and I go, that's April Mathis. I don't care. You're not going to tease me about that one.
Exactly.
So, quick question, and I just want to hear it from your perspective. Do women train like men? Like, in powerlifting and in strong women, do women train like men, or do they train like women?
As far as programming goes?
Mm-hmm.
I think more often than not, the programming is very similar.
Okay.
That's just from what I've observed. People might say it's different, or they might interpret it differently, but when you bring it down to the bare bones, you're doing similar sets, similar reps, similar percentages.
Yeah.
And then it's customized depending on the person, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, I structure mine the same as the guys I lived with. I've done research, whatever, and what I've... Again, that's one of those things. You can find research to support whatever.
Whatever you
that.
Want.
I know. But the thing is, and it's been in my experience too, that it seems like women can recover faster than men.
Okay.
As far as...
Yeah,
for real.
Oh.
So I can... My training frequency...
That too.
Give me Gatorade in 20 minutes.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well played.
Touché, sir.
Yes. Okay, but yeah, so I think my training frequency can be higher.
Okay.
And I think that's the case with a lot of them.
Do you feel that, Isa?
I have heard that. I've definitely heard that. I've been told that. I don't know if I agree. I don't know. Personally, I don't. Like, for myself, I don't recover faster than any of the guys I know. I never really have. I think part of it, too, is how hard are your workouts? And going back to kind of what we talked about a little bit earlier, there's a lot of women who they're eager to push harder, but maybe they don't have the trainers or the crew working out with them to push them. So, you know, what they think is like RPE 8, is it really, you know? And I, from day one of official formal lifting, I trained with a crew of mostly dudes, so...
Mm-hmm.
Again, I push myself, and I'm like, well, he's the weakest guy. I could do at least as much as him.
That poor bastard.
He didn't know what it was.
So what advice can either of you give to women that are trying to get into lifting, that want to lift, that are maybe a little bit scared, that are maybe feeling like, I don't know if I can do this, and I don't know if I can walk into a gym with a whole bunch of people? And what advice would you give to them?
I'd say... use the internet as a valuable resource and reach out to people. And it might take a while. You know, I there were definitely people I followed for a while before I talked to them, but I never forgot the things that I was observing, the things they were doing, the progress they were making. And so when I felt comfortable to talk to them, they were very open and willing to help me and give me advice. I can tell you, there have been hundreds of people, men and women, that have given me valuable advice over the years, especially in the beginning. And I'm still friends with some of them, but so I think that's a great way to jump into it, because I get if you're new to it, going to the gym itself can be intimidating, let alone going to the gym to specifically lift weight.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can connect with somebody, or if you have a friend, like Shane was saying, you know, a few friends who are willing to join with you, then it makes it less intimidating.
How about you, Jen?
Just go for it.
You have any advice to give any women that are trying to start lifting, or that might be scared, or how should they go about it?
Do it. Jump in. You know, and get if you're nervous about going to a gym, just go and get a tour. That's how I started. Just go and get a tour. Take notice of you know, other women or other lifters that you see there. Don't be shy about asking for help or for how their stories and how they got started. Use the internet, like Isa said. You know, work with a trainer. I mean, I know that that's sometimes, depending on where you go, that's a roll of the dice, you know. But but ask to see the progress of some of their clients. Ask if they focus on strength. I mean, whatever your goals are. If your goal is strength, ask if they do strength training, and ask for to vet them. You know, ask them some really good questions to just make sure that they fit your needs. And the biggest thing is to get started.
So at least in the Metro Detroit area, there are a lot of community gyms, and that might not be the case everywhere else in the country, right? You can use the internet to find that community of people, and, you know, they're holding events. Attend a competition. Look at the camaraderie between the gym members and amongst the athletes who are competing against each other. Maybe that will make people feel more comfortable to try things. They might just, you know, say, hey, how did... You know, I'm kind of thinking about doing it, so I'm checking out the competition. Another good thing is Groupon. I use Groupon all the time.
Okay.
And I don't want to commit to paying full price for something that I'm not sure is a valuable service for me, whether it's a nail, you know, a massage or a nail salon or whatever. That's how I started my gym and got a really cheap pack. And I know a lot of other friends who do that for different gyms or different workouts, right? Whether it's cycling or yoga or Zumba or whatever. I mean, then you kind of feel like you can just try it.
A lot of gyms will give passes, too.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, certain, you know, gyms will give you a free-day pass or a three-day pass or something so you can check it out a few times.
We'll give them people crazy ideas.
Yeah, world-famous drink. But, yeah, I mean, if you are in the Detroit area, I mean, you cannot do better than the world-famous drink people. Really can.
And if we're not what you're looking for, I have no problem sending you. I mean, we have a women's only, which is my direct competition, but right down the road, strongman gym that I would be happy to send you over to.
There's a right place for everybody somewhere.
For sure.
Shane, give me, what would you say, like, this from a woman's perspective, so a woman's trying to get involved into lifting, maybe not in strongman, maybe not in powerlifting, but just wants to start lifting, what advice can you give to them?
I mean, have goals, but I think you guys kind of covered, find whether it's through social media or through friends and just talk to the right people. I mean, there's tons of information out there. There's tons of knowledgeable people out there who are more than willing to help. Like I said, if someone called me and said, hey, here's what I'm looking for, you know, if my gym isn't a fit, I'm connected enough to know somebody who can help you out.
What I want to do is I want to talk to you, Jen, real quick. Your press is pretty amazing. Your overhead press has progressed. Like, you've been working on it relentlessly. Can you give, like, I want to hear some of your tips for overhead pressing. Like, some of the things that stand out for you and some of the things that have helped you for your overhead press.
So I was training for a competition in January. That ended up being canceled. So I took a few weeks to focus on just getting stronger. And one place where I felt I was pretty weak was in my overhead.
Mm-hmm.
My squat's pretty good. My deadlift's pretty good. I need to get my overhead up. And in strongman, we don't really have a lot of like bench press type events. So I don't really bench very much. Although I do wonder what I could do. You know? So I focus on overhead. So I did a lot of strict presses, hammered, and that's where my own experience with recovery is that I could press, you know, at least 2 days a week.
Okay.
You know, I eat more, I sleep more, you know, so I get my recovery dialed in if I'm going to train more. So I focus a lot on strict pressing, working at high percentages of my max. So I kind of figured out where my max was with a strict overhead press with a barbell. Here comes the bourbon.
Sorry. Shane pulled out the bourbon. Sorry.
It's Breckenridge bourbon, by the way, which is delicious.
Here
are
the
dogs. So I focused on static pressing, working at high percentages. So I would work up to maybe 12 doubles at like 90% or whatever I could bang out, and I focused on that. I did log. We do log, obviously, in strongman. So I would vary the implement. So I would do either the bar with my max there, based on the percentage of my max there.
You doing a regular bar? Are you doing a regular bar? Are you doing an axle, or what are you doing?
So I would trade when I was going through that. training block, I did log and I did regular bar. I didn't train axle very much, no. But I realized, so I learned a lesson over the last few weeks, is that I really need to be sure not to include something in my training rotation. I am starting to put axle back in.
So give me, like, do you pack your shoulders? Like, when you're pressing, do you keep your shoulders packed and down? Or do you just, what do you do?
Yeah, so I think of it as, I engage my whole back. The other thing I did is a lot of upper back accessory work.
Okay.
So I built my back. I don't do a lot of, like, I don't do shrugs or anything like that. But I think my traps, obviously, were affected by a lot of
the They're jacked.
Yeah,
They're
I do
jacked.
A lot of, like, you know, upper body rows and things. So I worked on my upper back strength and shoulders. And my shoulder accessories are more bodybuilding style.
So rear delts, side delts, stuff like that.
Absolutely, hammer rear delts, because those are often overlooked, and those are good stabilizer muscles. But so when I press, it's my whole body. I get my whole body. I mean, I engage my glutes, even my hamstrings, my lower. I just make sure my lats are packed and my shoulders. Yeah. I'm doing it. You guys can't see me, but
I just so you know, like, if any of us talk about, like, a lift, like, we always do it. So if I'm talking benching or deadlifting, you'll see us do the motion.
Yeah. So I focus a lot on my breathing too. If you lose the tightness, you're gonna lose the lift. So I focus on taking those short little breaths. Try not to hold. I mean, when I'm going heavy, I try not to hold my breath. I don't want to pass out. I've seen it happen too many times.
Yeah.
So short little breaths, high in your chest. You know, just fill your lungs. Stay tight.
Very nice.
I use a soft belt for overhead. I haven't used a.
Why soft?
It's just what works for me. Okay. It helps me. It doesn't give me much, but it reminds me to stay tight and stay packed. You know.
Very nice. Isa, your bench press, you bench 255.
Crazy.
So it is crazy. My question to you is, like, if I want to, give me some tips on my bench press.
So I think this would apply for every type of lift, learning how to brace properly.
Okay.
For different reasons. It's what protects your spine.
Yep.
It gives you stability for the lift. And I think a lot of people don't really learn what that is. And even if they hear it, it doesn't click for them. And that's fine. You know, there's a lot of things you have to do a while before it really registers.
So tell me how to brace.
You want to fill your diaphragm up. And what it means is take a really full breath with your belly. I like benching with a belt.
Okay.
And I bench with a stiff belt.
Okay.
From Best Belts. I like it really tight because I noticed when I'm laying down on the bench, it seems to give more than if I was standing, right? Just gravity. So I crank it down, and it gives my belly something to push against so that my entire torso is tight.
Okay.
And then kind of what Jen was saying, the tightness for whatever lift you're doing needs to apply to your whole body.
Yep.
If you want to be the most efficient in any lift, you should use whatever you can. I mean, every body is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's why there's such a thing as leg drive with benching. Benching is a full body lift, and people don't realize that. A huge thing is getting high up on your upper back traps, and, you know, whatever is right for you, and it's not about pushing for the biggest arch possible. I've actually read some articles very recently that have touched on that where how misguided a lot of people are, and they just want to have the biggest arch possible. And I was like that too. I thought, oh, you know, that'll make my lifts easier.
Because it shortens the range of motion.
Right. Yeah. Right. So does widening your grip, but that doesn't mean that that's what's most efficient for you. That's not what's healthiest for your body.
You have to find your biomechanical advantage.
Exactly.
So it's not just what somebody says it is. Mm-hmm. You have to find it correctly for yourself.
Right. And so I've been lucky. I had a lot of good initial coaching with the breathing. But I've also been very open-minded and attended different seminars where we've had different lifters come into our gym. I never had a problem leaving my home gym to train at other gyms. And I might have heard the same thing from four different people, yeah. but it was the way that one person told me or showed me that made it click. Well, so I think it's really important for people to get critiqued by respected, experienced lifters. And even if you're already accomplished yourself, I mean, my coach is a perfect example. He's pretty fucking strong. He coaches some great athletes, but he still wants to learn from others.
Who's your coach?
Dan Gibson.
Nice.
One of my favorite people in the world.
Yes. He's a great guy. So I think that's an important part, learning what your positioning on the bench is right for you.
Okay.
And definitely keeping the glutes tight. I actually warm up and do all my mobility the same for all my lifting days. I don't gear it just because I'm benching. I don't just do upper body mobility. I roll out my quads, my hamstrings, and everything because they're used.
How often do you, how long does your mobility take you before your lift? Your mobility routine, how long does it take you?
If I'm efficient, under 30 minutes. And that includes 10 minutes of, Airdyne work or on the rower or something.
Okay.
Maybe longer if I'm socializing.
Does that include the intern rolling you out?
The ex-wife?
Putin? Yeah. You know what, I know this is a women's podcast and this is Women in Strength, but we're kind of giving cues on things, and I'd like to actually get, we have a lifter here named Drew, and he's one of the, Drew, you are under 200 pounds, correct?
Right now, no, but compete under 200.
You compete under 200. Drew, what's your best deadlifting competition?
Right now, currently, it's 725.
Okay. Didn't you do close? Didn't you do 800? Didn't you do 800 with straps?
Yeah. So I've done 800. I've done 800 for a single with straps. I've done it for a double with straps. I've done 815 for a single with straps. I've done 837 with straps. I've also done 837 completely raw as well. And I've done my best lift to date was 855 for a triple with straps,
which is not too shabby. My question for you is: we talked about overhead pressing and we talked about benching. How about giving people some tips on bench pressing, or I'm sorry, on deadlifting because you're here?
That's a very, very, very big.
I understand. But I want to get, just give me a couple hints that, or a couple cues that you use when you deadlift.
So for myself, I'm an extreme sumo puller. I pull very much similar to Yuri Belkin. The only technical difference between our lifts is that he lifts his head back, whereas I don't. So for me personally, the biggest thing for my deadlift is mobility. I rely drastically on technique. I have very good genetics as far as sumo deadlift goes.
Like leverages?
So a shorter torso, longer femurs, and extreme hip mobility. That being said, I wasn't just given this mobility out of nowhere. I spent 3 months just working on mobility before I even tried to deadlift sumo when I fully converted over to sumo. And that I attribute to a large part to my success with the deadlift, simply because building a motor pattern with poor mobility will cause a lot of issues down the line.
Yep.
For the lifter. And a lot of the time with sumo deadlift, you see people's hips shoot up. And it's because they don't have the mobility for the lift, and they're used to having trained this lift and shooting their hips up because they don't have that mobility. So the best advice that I can give is for a sumo deadlift would be to gain the mobility prior to learning the lift and prior to building that motor pattern, so that when you do build that motor pattern, you're going to build that perfect one that you're not going to have to change over time. Of course, over time, you're going to have little adaptations, micro adjustments that you make, but in whole, your lift is going to be very, very similar technically.
So how do you work on your mobility? What do you do specifically for mobility for your hips? Because I know a lot of people would like to know this.
This is a question that I get asked all the time over Instagram, at least two or three times a day. I get questions about mobility work. I guess there's a lot that goes into it. One of the biggest things for me was actually sleeping with my hips open. So for a while, what I ended up doing was wrapping a band around my knees and then having it go run underneath my back and simply sleeping with the band.
Describe where your band is,
so
how it's wrapped.
So the band, the middle of it is going to be completely aligned underneath my lower back. And then each of the band ends loop over the top of my kneecaps.
You're like butterflied open.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're on your back.
Yeah, and I'm on my back. And I sleep like that throughout the whole night.
What kind of band? Like how strong of a band?
A pretty moderate band. I like the Elite FTS red bands.
Okay.
And so I did that for a long time. And then I converted over to just sleeping with a pillow underneath my feet and sleeping in that stance. And that was very helpful and also nice because I didn't wake up with grooves on my knees from the bands or anything like that. And I slept a lot better. And then now I don't have to put pillows and I just always sleep like that.
Where do your two pit bulls sleep?
I don't have...
I'm just trying to picture me and how the hell I'm...
You can have Apollo on one.
Yeah,
peanut
no.
butter in the middle.
My girlfriend hates it. She complains about it all the time because I take up like 75% of the bed. Luckily, she's a very small person, so it's not that big of a deal. But that, and then I guess a lot of people neglect active mobility work, and I think that that's very important. And a lot of people hate on me for doing a lot of touch and go reps, but the reason why I do touch and go reps so frequently is because it's extremely important for maintaining my mobility. And I feel like I cannot get that same stimulus with a deadlift from the floor simply because A, you're not using that same stretch reflex, and B, you can't sit into the hole the same way. And basically, essentially, try and relax your adductors and load your quads and then fire through them. So both combining direct mobility work and active mobility work is very important. But that whole sleeping thing, everybody thinks that that's so ridiculous, but it is one of the main things that helped me with my mobility the most for sumo deadlift.
Well, thank you, Drew. You know what? I think one day we'd like to bring you back on and talk just about deadlift. We'll have a full podcast where it's just you and talking about deadlift and different things that have helped you and then have aided in your progression as well. So I appreciate you coming on and giving a couple tips, and I know people are gonna be interested in this.
Awesome.
So we appreciate
I'd love
it.
To share.
Give
we
out
appreciate
your,
it.
IG name, yeah. So people can go hate on your videos.
Oh yeah. So if you guys want to go talk shit about my touch and go reps and having straps glued to my hands, yeah, feel free at weak little guy, weak underscore lil underscore guy.
I say that because I was watching one of his videos, and I think it was the 837 or something.
Yeah.
That he pulled for three with top of, yeah. Yeah, and people are like, yeah, but he's doing touch and goes, and I'm like, motherfucker, it's
go
837
fuck yourself.
Like
they didn't even touch.
But it had like 157 comments. I pulled into my driveway and got sucked into the rabbit hole. 45 minutes later, I look up like, I think my kid's in bed already, and I'm out here reading Instagram comments.
The internet warriors.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I said, I appreciate you coming on, and I appreciate everybody coming on. Lisa, thank you so much for coming on. And we were talking about, you and I were talking about a couple days ago, we were like, you know, you can be an experienced lifter, but what's really nice about Strength Depot is the world famous Strength Depot is that you can, like, there's queuing, and we all queue each other, and we all help each other out, like, even during that squat seminar, but we can all take that as well. We can all take, like, you know, criticism, and we all want to get better. So it's a real strong fostering kind of thing, and I think as far as for being women lifters, I really appreciate you guys both being here. Like, I've gotten so much just, like, I've learned so much just from both of you being here, and I think the gym as a whole, like, benefits from you guys being here.
Well, and I think another thing which kind of makes us stand out is when we're doing the group squats, I mean, Issa is one of the ones in there giving cues and, you know, things that she picks up on, and she's respected enough by everybody that, whether it's a dude or a chick, whoever, they, you know, they listen and pay attention, and I don't know, that's one thing that sticks out with me. There's not a lot of gyms where a girl could step in and say, hey, I notice you're doing this, without some guy flipping out, like, you know.
Well, she also has a perfect squat, too, so.
I said, when we were doing our squat seminar, Rob and I were doing, like, we were talking about stuff, and then Issa was, oh, my gosh.
What's up?
Mike Folks just walked into the building, folks.
Nonchalant.
Mike Folks just walked into the building, so.
But, the bourbon.
Yeah, you did miss the bourbon.
Yeah, I missed out on
You're going to have to try a swig of it before you go. But we were talking, Issa and I were talking about, like, or Rob and I were talking about, like, there's quad squatters, there's hip squatters, there's glute squatters, that type of a thing. And we were all talking about, again, what you were saying is everybody has different dimensions, and you have to work to your own biomechanical levers. And that's one of the things where, like, I think when we were talking to Jake was like, I never knew that. Well, we were, you know, like, you're a basic quad squatter. Me, I'm a hip squatter. I was a hip squatter until my injury.
Right.
And now I have to bring it in. And so now I'm
and
trying.
Jake's a very tall
man. He is.
Man.
Yep.
Tall, large man.
6'4", 5", 100, I don't know.
I'm 5'3", and
yeah.
Chuck's taller than me.
Like, by an inch.
He's trying to be nice.
Yeah.
So for him to hear from our perspective way down here, tell him things that'll help him, I think he was pretty excited.
Super open,
Jake's the best, man. Jake's the best. And he's a yo-yo god. So, hey, Mike, you want to say anything before we go?
Am I that late?
Traffic. You are that late. You are that late.
Oh, wow. Oh, like, yeah. You're
traffic and...
I was going to say about squats. So this infamous squat clinic. So I'm extending my stay so I can stay for this Tuesday squat clinic. That's how epic this is.
Are we doing a squat clinic on Tuesday?
Well, it's just squat night.
Okay.
So I want to stay for squat
So let's
night.
Do it. Let's
I want
do
people
it.
To critique my form.
And Shane and I were talking about, like, we're doing it for the gym. And Drew, I'd actually like you to be involved in a deadlift clinic with us. I think, like, what we want to do is we've been doing it more, like, just for the gym people. Sooner or later, like, within the next couple weeks or maybe month, we're going to open it up. We're going to do a PowerPoint. We're going to do, like, question and answers.
PowerPoint, that's
absolutely
legit. Oh, my gosh.
We're not joking here.
Oh, my God.
World famous.
World famous.
World famous strength people.
And we're going to have a I'd like to have you involved in the deadlift because, like, your kind of idea on mechanics and mobility, I think, are very important. Jen, I think, like, from Jen and Issa and Mike and Shane, I think everybody's got something positive to put into this. And I also think that, like, this is my unicorn, guys. This is my gym. We're all blessed to be here. But I'm blessed to have all of you guys in the gym with us. So I think we're going to close this up for now.
Hashtag blessed.
So for Shane, for Issa, for Jen, for Drew, and for...
Tardy to the party.
Tardy to the party. We're going to close it up. Thanks for listening, guys, and we will talk to you next time.
Let's go, my friend.
Devices Radio Network.